This season of Advent focuses on the transition from sadness to joy, from dark to light, from death to life. All of that, as we focus, as we're surrounded so much by all the commercial stuff that goes on, it can be depressing, can't it? Just more talk about Brexit. Don't you just wish it was all done? Yeah. And all the other arguments that go on politically and internationally. Yeah. Doesn't it wear you down? So it's good in the season of Advent just to take a little while to pause and to breathe. To breathe in, as the hymn writer puts it, the breath of God. Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew. The prophet Isaiah has some words for us. Comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Comfort. That word comfort suggests all kinds of things. Warm, wrapped up, cuddled, hugged, comforted. But in its original sense, it meant strength, force, power. I think it's in the Bayeux Tapestry that there's a scene in the tapestry of Prince William. And it just says at the bottom, Prince William comforteth his troops. Do you know what he's doing? He's poking their backsides with a sword. Yeah, get on. Comfort with strength, looking ahead, looking to the future, looking to the fulfillment of God's promises. In Isaiah chapter 11, the prophet says, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt and faithfulness the sash around his waist. Things will change. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together. And a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. So many more promises of peace and reconciliation. I was reading the other day some words, a message written by the secretary of the Methodist Conference, Dr. Jonathan Hussler. And this is some of what he says. In many churches and concert halls at this time of the year, there are performances of George Frederick Handel's masterpiece, Messiah. A short orchestral overture gives way to the tenor voice's thrilling opening words, comfort ye my people. There are those who say that Messiah should be performed at Easter, not Christmas. There's no reason why it shouldn't be, but the call from Isaiah chapter 40 is the message of Advent. God calls on God's messenger to comfort God's people. You and I, whatever our circumstances, I suggest, need comfort. The pressures of society upon us, the pressures of the circumstances of our own lives, we know we need comfort, not just a hug, but that strength to move forward, that encouragement to move ahead. Comfort is a combination of sympathy and strength. It's established on God's identification with us, his people. Isaiah talks about God coming to be with his people. And sometimes in all the pressures of our lives, we can sometimes forget that. We get so wrapped up in the stuff that's happening to us that sometimes even we, as believers in Jesus, even we can sometimes forget that he's with us. Where is God? We sometimes ask ourselves, where is God in my situation? Has he abandoned us? Has he left me? Comfort ye, my people, is a proclamation, an offer of help, an offer of encouragement. When we look at our world, well, when we look at our country, I'm not sure that there's been an Advent season quite like this for a long, long time. When the message of comfort has been so desperately needed. The uncertainty of Brexit, of the UK's impending exit from the European Union, complicated by the general election conducted in the darkest days of the year. For many, the political climate is not one of hope, it's one of despair. The old certainties are gone. It's not yet clear what kind of realignment will replace them. We're bombarded one way and another through new media and old media with information that you can't really trust. Is it fake news or not? And accusations of lying and cheating and untrustworthiness are all around us. So we could be tempted to despair. There are people in our communities who are voicing their fears about the future, and some no longer feel welcome in the places where they've lived for years, whether they're Jewish or whether they're Muslim or other faiths. There are shadows all around that are darkening around us, it seems. We live under the shadows and the threat of violence and knife crime. Even within our own communities, in the past year or two, we've seen a rise of all of that. So we could despair. Terrorism, violence, climate change. Wow. The need for urgent action to change things is obvious, but who's going to do it? Where can we turn? And within the Christian church, we have an answer. The answer that God has given through the prophets, through John the Baptizer. Again, one of the readings today. Let me remind you of his story, if you needed any reminding, in Matthew chapter 3. In those days, and they were difficult days, there was chaos then. There was political uncertainty. The religious leadership was torn apart in different directions within Israel. And into this chaos, comes John the Baptist preaching and saying, "Repent, the kingdom of heaven is near." A voice. Yeah, John was a voice calling in the darkness, calling in the desert. "Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him." John was unconventional. If you read about his clothing, camel hair. Ouch. He had a leather belt round his waist. His food was dried locusts and wild honey. Not a very nice kind of diet, I don't think. People went out to him, though, because he was the voice of God speaking to the people. People went out to him from Jerusalem and Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. They came from all over. And they came confessing their sins. When they heard his message, they began to turn towards the truth of the living God. And they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. He'd got some strong things to say, especially to the religious folk. He said, "You are a brood of vipers, snakes, slithering around, causing harm and havoc." He said to them, "You need to produce fruit that lines up with repentance too." "But I baptize with water," he said, "but the one who is to come, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. The light of the world is on his way. The light of the world is coming." Yeah, that was the message of John. What do you say? What do we say to the people in our community who are walking or living, as it seems, in darkness? In sadness, in fear. Have we got a message for them today? Or are we content simply to come to church and meet together with each other and be blessed and ignore the world that's out there? We are called to walk in the light into our community. To be light. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." Not "you will be." You are the light of the world. So where you go, the light goes. Light of the world, you stepped down into our darkness. And Jesus said to his followers, us included, "You are now the light of the world." Go into the dark places, as it were, into the sadness of people's lives. Do what John did, John the Baptizer. He didn't promote himself, although crowds came when they heard about him. People came to see this strange guy with the strange message, the powerful message. They came and he pointed them to the light of the world, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. He pointed people to Jesus. How often do you do that? How often do we do that? The darkness will remain dark unless the light is shined into it. Jesus calls us to be light to our world, to our community, to go and to do what he did, to bring about positive change through his actions. You and I are called to be active in sharing our faith. How do we do that? It might be just by offering words of comfort, offering words of encouragement, giving a hug, taking the light to where the hurt is, taking the light to where there needs to be healing, taking the light into the shadowy places of people's lives. Paul, writing to Christians in Rome, said, "How will they hear unless someone tells them? How will they know there's a different way of living unless someone shows them?" George Verver, founder of Operation Mobilization, George Verver, I remember him talking to me, when I was a youngster in Bible college. "If you don't go, who will? If you don't tell them, who will? If you don't show them, who will?" Some people say, "Well, I'm waiting for God to call me." George Verver says this: to know about a need is to hear a call to respond to it. Advent, a season of anticipation. Excitement? Yeah, it could be. What is God going to do in you and in me? What is God going to do through you and me in this Advent season? It may have been last year or the year before. When you get to my age, memory fails sometimes. But was it last year or the year before? I discovered that the word Advent is the first part of the word adventure. Did it just dawn on you as well? Yeah. Advent, an adventure. God invites us to go on an adventure with him. An adventure into his world to bring the light of his truth to the chaos and the darkness. Thou whose almighty word, chaos and darkness heard and took their flight. Hear us, we humbly pray, and where the gospel day sheds not its glorious ray, let there be light. Who's going to take the light there? Jesus has commanded us to go to our world. At the end of Matthew's gospel, he said to his followers, "You go to your world and you make disciples." That's not an invitation. It's a command. You go. I may have told you this before. I'm pretty certain I have. When I was a teenager, I went to a church, a youth rally, as it was called then, in a church in Glasgow, packed with young people. And the minister who was preaching leaned over the edge of the pulpit and he said, "When did you last introduce someone to Jesus?" And as a young person, I had to sit there and think, "I haven't." And then he asked another question, a supplementary question: "When did you last introduce someone to Jesus? When did you last try?" He invites us to try, to take the light of his truth in our lives. You know, you can preach the gospel without saying a word, by being light in the darkness, seeing a need and doing something about changing that situation. Bit by bit, the light will dawn. Advent, a time of anticipation, a time of excitement, a time of adventure. Come on. Let's adventure with God, shall we? People in our world, certainly we discover, I mentioned the school chaplaincies earlier on, but right across our region in the Black Country, there is a stirring of awareness. People wanting security and hope. And they're looking for a spiritual answer. You and I have got the answer in Jesus to share with them. The event that's taking place in January at Bethel Convention Center is for all ages, not just for adults, it's for all ages, to show young people especially how strong the Christian church is across the Black Country. It's a multi-generational thing, a multi-generational event. Together, we can share the love of God from the youngsters right the way through to those who are born earlier. An adventure with God in Advent. Let's pray. Lord, not all of us can be great preachers like Isaiah or Ezekiel or John the Baptist or Paul. But you've called us to be light in the world, taking your light in us into the shadowy places where people are fearful and worried about their future. Help us to take your word seriously, pointing to the one who has come and who will come again, pointing to Jesus. Help us not only to be confident in our relationship, in our faith in you, but help us to be confident enough to share that experience with other people. Take us to be light in the world, that people might get to know that there is hope, there is life, there is joy in Jesus Christ. So as we adore Christ the Lord this Christmas, may we gather with us other people who will come, maybe for the first time, to an awareness of the Savior, God with us, that they too might be part of the adoring company of believers in the presence of God. Thank you for this time that we've shared together this morning. Thank you for speaking into our lives through your word and by your Spirit. So comfort us and move us forward in your strength, because there's a world out there who needs us. We offer ourselves to you, to trust you for today and for the days that are yet to be. Thank you. Amen. I'm going to pause for a moment to pray, and then we'll sing our closing song together. I've got a card to read out, and then we'll pray for a number of folks whose names are in the book for prayer today. This card is from John. It says, "Thank you so much for your prayers, good wishes, and phone calls. I'm feeling much better. A few more tablets, no marathons, and no food I like, so I should be okay. See you all soon. God bless, John." Which John? I think it might be John Harcourt. Is it? Do we think? Yeah, okay. In the Book of Remembrance today, the name on the page is Doris Irene Baker. And we're invited to pray for a number of folks, some familiar to us and praying. We've been praying regularly for them. But there's one this morning. I'd like you to pray for a taxi driver. He brought somebody to church this morning, and he asked, would you say a prayer for me this morning? Mr. Singh, an Asian gentleman. Yeah. So we'll remember to pray for him, especially this morning. Let me read the names, and then we'll pray. Mr. Singh and the family of Doris Irene Baker, Chris Spittle, Rachel, Bev, and Steve, Marv Beale, Dan Fox, Avril Jones, and Sharon, that's Kay's sister-in-law, John Harcourt, and Morgan, who is being treated for leukemia. Loving God, we pray for these friends of ours, some of them known to us, some of them not, but they're still our friends. We pray for them, that you who are the God of peace might surround them today, meet every need that they have, whatever that need might be, physical, emotional, material, spiritual. By your grace, come alongside and hold them. Give them strength to face today and the days that are yet to be. We thank you for them, and we pray blessing into their lives. We pray for our world, with all the tensions and strains and stresses that there are across our world. Especially we pray for people who are caught up in war situations through no fault of their own. We pray for those who live in fear, who live in poverty, who live in great need across our world. You, Lord, are the great provider, and we pray that you will meet the needs of people in our world today. Especially we pray for the leaders of the nations. So many of them seem to be out of their depth, as we would be too. So we pray for guidance and wisdom and help. Bring them into line with your will and purposes. We pray for decisions that are being made and will be made this week about our own nation. We pray that you'll help us to cast our vote in a way that you direct. And whatever the outcome, we pray for those who will lead us, that they might, whether they like it or not, that they might be pressurized by your Spirit to make decisions that will be for the good of all of us and not just for a few of us. We pray, gracious God, for our nation, that you will bring us back to know the God of all comfort, the God of peace, the God of life. For the church in this country and around the world, strengthen us in our faith and help us in our sharing of that faith wherever we go. I pray for my friends here that you'll bless them today. Meet their needs, come alongside them, support them and help them today and in all the days that are ahead. We give you thanks. We give you praise in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.